I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here! Beautiful goal! Walcott! What a goal! It's been flicked in by Alexis Sanchez, a quality goal from the Gunners.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 17th of October. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on this week's show, the little Spanish magician Santi Cazorla joins us to discuss his penalty-taking technique. It's the return of Access Arsenal as well, where Kieran Lewis joins us from Arsenal Soccer Schools. We hear from Safe Hands himself, David Seaman. As ever, we kick off with the weekend review. Arsenal entertained Swansea City at Emirates Stadium, looking to make it 6 wins in a row in all competitions. Theo Walcott continued his fine run of form, scoring twice to put the Gunners 2 up inside the first half.
Towards Granit Xhaka. Xhaka turns away from Cork, who's chasing everything down, getting through lots of work, as David has pointed out already. Now it's with Iwobi. Walcott, first touch is good. Infield towards Alexis, curls it back towards Hector Bellerin. Bellerin with a header back across the face of goal, and Walcott might be able to get in here, and does! Well, we were just speaking about Theo Walcott, and it looked like the chance had gone, but it's his persistence and it's his positional ability to get in the right place at the right time that has made him force home from close range. Santi Cazorla, in it comes, it's towards Mustafi, it's nodded away, and then the shot on the turn is forced home here. Theo Walcott has got another, would you believe? It fell so kindly to him inside the six-yard box. There was no one near him in Swansea colours. He had time to spin and shoot home from 4 or 5 yards out. Fabianski nowhere. Arsenal have got a second.
Swansea responded before the interval, but Mesut Ozil restored the two-goal lead for Arsenal with a quite sensational goal.
Walcott controls, back in field towards Alexis. Alexis looks to chip it inside the area. It's towards Ozil! Birthday boy! On the score sheet with a thumping close-range volley. Fabianski, no chance whatsoever. And Arsenal lead by 3-1.
It still wasn't all plain sailing there. Gylfi Sigurdsson cutting the lead in half again for the Swans. And then Granit Xhaka was sent off for the Gunners. Arsenal held on, though, to go level on points with Manchester City at the top of the Premier League table. Let's hear from the boss on Ozil's wonder strike.
I do not want to compare, but it was a great goal. Ozil... when you see him finishing today, you think a little bit he doesn't take enough his chances to shoot, you know, because when you see him in training, he scores basically when he wants. And you speak with the keepers, he's one of the most difficult players to predict where he will put the ball. So, and in the game, I'm happy that he gets goals. I hope that gives him the taste to try more.
So 2 goals, as we heard from Theo Walcott. Let's hear from the England forward on his performance and how he should have had a hat-trick.
Theo, 2 goals for yourself. I mean, that game had everything this afternoon, didn't it? What was your assessment?
Not quite. It didn't have a hat-trick from me. You know, disappointing a couple of chances at the end. But, you know, when you're down to 10 men, we had to work really hard today. You know, it's always difficult when you come back from international break. People come over from all parts of the world, and you only get a short amount of time to actually train together before you're at it again. But yeah, when you've got 10 men in the Premier League, it's not easy. But Swansea, they did cause us loads of problems. But, you know, when it was 11 men, it was quite even, to be honest. But very good 3 points in the end, definitely, when you look at the other results today.
So, having made it 6 wins from 6 in all competitions, Arsenal switched their attention back to the Champions League this midweek as they prepare to take on Ludogorets.
Oh!
Access Arsenal.
On Access Arsenal, we interview some of the individuals who work in and around the club doing all kinds of interesting jobs. And this week, I'm delighted to say that we're welcoming Kieran Lewis from Arsenal Soccer Schools to the Arsenal Weekly podcast. Kieran, hello, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Very good to have you on the show, my friend. And the soccer schools, as we all know, do some great things all over the world as well. Maybe just start by telling us a little bit about the group and the setup and kind of how it all works.
Okay, so soccer schools, we work globally to deliver football programs to kids all around the world. We have a team of three of us here at the Arsenal Stadium. What we do is we work in different areas to deliver the program of the soccer schools. So for instance, my role is to do with all the coaching element side of things and all the football. Then we have Theo, who does a lot of the administration and marketing. And then we have Mark, who oversees the business side of it and how the operations are run at each location. So we operate globally around the world. Our main aim is to engage with our fans that are in different locations all over the world. We want to engage with them. We want to create more fans by offering them and showing them the way that Arsenal play football and how we develop players. It's all about the kids enjoying themselves in a fun environment, learning lots of different skills, but we make it an Arsenal environment.
Very interesting. And obviously, a lot of people will know the Arsenal way of playing football out on the pitch, for example. Yeah. So you're actually kind of trying to encapsulate that, but on this big global scale, which is really exciting. But I guess it must have its logistical challenges as well.
Yeah, it is quite difficult sometimes because we operate on such a global scale. We're in 24 different countries at the moment. So we have lots of... Each soccer school is kind of unique because of its environment, its culture, its language. So we have to kind of adapt and mould it to fit that model and fit how it works within that environment, that that country as such.
Wow. And do you get a bit of global travel yourself as a result to check up on some of these far-flung, nice, hot, exotic places? Or
Yeah, I wouldn't say we check up on them, but there is a lot of travel involved. We're going to see the programmes, going to assist them. I do a lot of coach education in my role, so I'm just trying to educate the coaches to show them how we want our philosophies delivered to the children, what coaching methods we use, how we can make the programme better for them and make it more Arsenal. And we try and give everything that we have new here and all our ideas and push it out to them so they can be as successful as possible. And we want the kids to have the best experiences. So the better trained our staff are, that's globally, the better likelihood they are to coach the kids in a better way.
So let's just sort of pick a specific country. Could be anywhere from the programme you said. And the kids are coming in for their soccer school. Just tell me then one or two of the kind of training doctrines, one or two of the things that perhaps you guys would aim to pass on, if you see what I mean. How will they benefit?
Okay, so our main approach is to understand that to develop football players, we have to develop people. So we look at a holistic approach. We look at all the different sides, from the social side of things to the psychological to the physical, and then of course the football. And we use football as a vehicle to develop those people. In terms of actual football, it's all about an attacking style of play. Lots of flair, lots of passes, lots of dribbles with the ball. We want to play exciting football. We want to play the football that when parents come to watch, they're going to get off their seats, they're going to applaud when there's goals go in, and they want to enjoy it. And we want the children to enjoy it as well. So we try and take that from how Arsenal play, what our history and philosophy's been in how we play football, but put it into a soccer school context. So the skills are relative to what they're trying to learn. And we all base that towards our players. So we look at, for instance, let's say Sanchez. He's a dribbler of the ball. He's fantastic. So we try and emulate that in some of the practices we do, how we play. Ozil's a world-class passer and assister. And his vision is outstanding. So we try and put that into our sessions. So that's the football side. But then, like I say, on top of that, we understand that we've got to develop people, because at the end of the day, a lot of people that play football are not going to play on the highest level of elites, probably less than 0.1%. So we're trying to give them skills that they can use in other walks of life, like how do they work as a team? How do they communicate with other people? Also, how do they motivate themselves? How can they concentrate within sessions? Get them into good habits so that they can hopefully sustain playing football, and they relate that to Arsenal. So it's that affiliation of, wow, this is amazing. Look all I've done. But I can do this with Arsenal as well.
And just on that note as well, obviously not everybody around the world is necessarily in as, I wouldn't say use the term privilege, but in as perhaps as wealthy a position as some of us here in the UK, for example. So, yeah. So for some of these countries and for some of these kids growing up, this is actually a really good opportunity as well for their future life.
Yeah, definitely, because in here, our football development is probably one of the best in the world and where we sit, because we have lots of infrastructure in football, but a lot of these countries don't have that. Mm. And we go in and offer that. We show them that structure to how to not just play football, but we also educate the coaches, and we also give them an environment where they can go and express themselves, play against other teams as such. So it does allow them to develop on that pathway to becoming a better football player.
So from your point of view, you've talked at great length and really interesting about what you guys do, why you do it and how it works. What about you? How did you get involved with all of this in the first place, and how long have you been doing it?
I've just been in my past my first year now, so I've been in the role for around about 14 months. It's a fantastic role. I've never thought I'd be doing something like this for a club like Arsenal. It's amazing. But for me getting into this, when I was younger, I played a lot of football, but I never quite had the caliber to make the grade. I played at certain levels. Then I decided to go to university and take on a sports science role. I got interested into how people learn and started coaching whilst playing. And then I caught the bug, really, of coaching, seeing young players develop, working with people all the time, ticked a lot of boxes for me. And then doing various different jobs. I worked in a few academies down at the South Coast. I met someone who was working at Arsenal Soccer Schools in some type of capacity. I got involved talking to them. I started going delivering coach education programs abroad. I think one of my first trips was going out to Italy and working with some coaches out there and how we want to train them as such. And then this position became available, and I jumped straight at it. I thought it was a fantastic thing to do. Not just for the coaching, not just for working for a fantastic club, but also living in a great city as well. Ticked a lot of boxes for me, and I'm happy to be here where I am now.
Right here in the Arsenal podcast studio, exactly.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously, you've been to Iraq recently, haven't you? I mean, that really stood out for me as encapsulating a lot of what we've already talked about, but just as one specific opportunity. Just tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so what it was is we sent one of our coaches out there to go and deliver some courses. They were working with Save the Children to build some football pitches over in Iraq. And our coach went out there. They delivered some coaching to a lot of the children around there, and they brought them together for a big tournament. They also worked with some of the parents and that lot to show them some things that they could deliver to the children while they're coaching, to just really bring in that Arsenal philosophy and show them the presence of what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic experience, not just for the children out there, but for our coach as well, who went out there. They come back and there was lots of positivity, and really touched by what they've done.
And we always conclude these kind of interviews with a couple of questions, one of which I wanted to ask you is, Iraq clearly would be up there, but what has been your favourite or one of your favourite memories and moments of working with Arsenal so far?
There's been so many, and I've only been in the role for like 14 months, but I definitely think one of my highlight points was going out to on the tour when we went out to Singapore.
Oh, wow.
I managed to be out there. I was working in partnership with the Premier League, delivering some training to local coaches out there for Arsenal. And we also met a lot of our soccer schools that operate. We have a very big soccer school that runs in Singapore. But also running events with the Emirates, where you get to work with the players on such close proximity. And it was a fantastic experience. I managed to see some great things, like the kit launch out there for the away kit. And just the whole environment was fantastic. It was football, football, football. And there was just seeing the fans out there and how they reacted to Arsenal being there. It was every day. You got up, you went down for breakfast, and there'd be a queue of people waiting outside, just wanting autographs and wanting to meet the first team. And you see them there, and it was just a great experience.
Wow, absolutely incredible. And what would you say is the best thing about being part of the Arsenal family? The global element is fascinating from what you've said, but what really encapsulates it all for you?
I think the way that everyone's treated within the club, everyone's seen as an equal, everyone's given the right amount of time, and everything's done properly. We really do try and stick to our philosophies here, and you can see everyone acting with class on a consistent basis, and they're always acting with each other as well, trying to help and assist each other to get better. And that's something that I've noticed a lot working in this environment, and it's been fantastic. It allows you to, yourself personally, to expand, allows you to develop in certain areas, and they assist you with that. So I think that environment to work in has been incredible.
Brilliant stuff. That's Kieran Lewis joining us from Arsenal Soccer Schools here on the Arsenal Weekly podcast. Really interesting chat, mate, and thank you for coming by. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great
for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 22nd of October 2005, with Arsenal facing Manchester City, we saw one of the strangest moments in Highbury's history.
What's he done? Well, he pretended to take it and then didn't seem to take it. And the referee's given a free kick the other way. What an extraordinary incident.
Well, Arsenal went on to win the game 1-0, but the match will always be remembered for that infamous spot kick attempt. Here is Thierry Henry and the boss reacting to what happened.
What happened? I don't know.
It was one of the most extraordinary moments, wasn't it?
Unfortunately for Robert, it's going to be in all those kind of tape that you can have about strange things that happen on the pitch.
It's part of the game as well to make these kind of mistakes, and I think he's vaccinated now for the rest of his life to take a penalty like that. That's a positive sign of it.
It was on a lack of respect to no one, but you have to remember that football, don't get me wrong, once again, we shouldn't have done it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Football also, it's a game, and people keep on forgetting that it's an entertainment also.
Santi Cazorla has enjoyed a fine start to this season. Brilliant to see the little Spanish magician back fully fit and firing. He's also scored a couple of penalties in the campaign already. Here is Santi talking to Carl Finocchiaro about his spot kick technique.
Santi, welcome to the Arsenal Weekly podcast. We're going to talk specifically about penalties and how to take a good penalty. Firstly, do you enjoy taking penalties?
Yes, of course. Of course. It's a good responsibility, but I feel good when I have to shoot penalties for this club, of course.
You're not nervous?
Yeah, it's always nervous, because if you miss, it's a bad thing for me and for the team. But you have to take, and it's a good responsibility, but if the boss says me you have to take, it's no problem for me.
How do you stay focused when you're out there taking a penalty? Like, do you listen to the noise? Can you hear the crowd?
Yes, you need to be confident, you know. It's the most important thing, because if you think, oh, I have to shoot this side, or I have to shoot this side, if this is the bad thing. This is you need to be confident. You say, okay, I have to shoot this way. It's definitely, you have to shoot there, and I go there. If you have to change the last minute or the last second, it's always missed, I think so.
What's the story with you? Do you have the decision made before you even walk to the penalty spot, or where do you decide?
The last moment.
Really?
For example, against Southampton, I looked at the keeper and it's massive, this guy, man. And so I think, because Lolo was on the floor, and I have to think a lot of time, a lot of players of them saying, yeah, you have to shoot out, please, and say, okay. But they need to be comfortable and confident, and I think the best thing was shoot in the middle because this guy is massive, and the most important thing was to score. But
so you decided when you walked up and you put the ball down, and at the point the ball is down, you still haven't decided?
Yeah. The last 10 seconds just before to start to running, so I take the decision there.
Do you make eye contact with the goalkeeper beforehand?
Yes.
What are you thinking when you're looking at him? You're trying to psych him out a bit?
Because I spoke a lot with Ospina, no? And with Peter Cech, and they said to me, if you shoot middle, it's very difficult. The keeper stay there. It's true, if they stay, it's like that, you know? But in this moment, it's the last minute, and I think it was the best decision for this moment.
Do you study goalkeepers the way goalkeepers study penalty takers?
No. I don't study the keepers when they go. So I take the decision in the last seconds.
How about the best penalty takers you've seen? Do you look at other players and go, wow, they're fantastic? Like Alan Shearer is a fantastic penalty taker.
The best penalty if you score.
That's it. How about penalty takers? Come on, there must be someone you look at that go, they're going to get it in.
I don't know. For example, I like, I don't know if you know him, it's Mendieta.
Yes, Casca Mendieta.
He played for Valencia and he did a lot of goals of penalty, and top class. It's like watch at the time, look the keeper, and the last second it's turn, shoot this side on the middle. And for me, it was one of the best players take penalties.
Did you ever watch Maradona take a penalty? What he used to do?
I saw him, but not too much. I don't remember.
He used to walk up and watch, keep looking at the keeper, and then decide once the keeper had moved.
Yeah, it's similar to Hazard.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, before he take penalties like that. But for me, no, it's the same way that them.
Cool. So what's the secret to the perfect penalty? If I'm going to go up and take a penalty, what are you going to tell me?
For me, the most important thing is to be comfortable and know what you want to do. This is the most important thing when you have to take a penalty. To be clever and say, okay, I have to do it, and I go to do. If you think I have to do it, but the last second, no, I change, this is the bad thing I think you miss.
David Seaman will be among 11 names to be inducted into the National Football Museum's Hall of Fame this coming Wednesday. Seaman signed for the club in 1990 for £1.3 million, then a British record fee for a goalkeeper. It was certainly money well spent, as Seaman stayed 13 years in the end and racked up 564 appearances in all competitions, winning a hatful of titles and trophies in the process. Here is Seaman talking to Nick Brumsack of Arsenal Media about his legendary career.
Did you have a particular favourite type or style of save? You know, just maybe diving for a stretch diving.
No, like, as a goalkeeper, you've got to be ready for everything. Not for everything, for anything. You know, because you don't know what sort of save. My favourite save would be reaction saves. Mm-hmm. You know, ones that are like, you know, not like a long shot where you know you've got time to move your feet and things like that. It's like the quick reactions that you see. I like them because you've got to be in a set position or a position where your head's not panicking, where you've got a steady head and your focus is on the ball. And once you get your eyes on the ball and you follow that ball with your eyes, your body will react. And then it's how quick your body can react after that.
Did you spend a lot of time with the back four as well in training?
Loads and loads, like you would not believe. Like hours and hours. Especially with George, under George Graham, you know, that's where the back four came from, really. Mm. And we would spend like lots of time just having, not practice matches, but like the back four against the strikers in the midfield. You know, and it would be like the back four and me against, like, sometimes it'd be like eight players. And they'd still never score. You know, so that's, you know, that back four didn't just come by through luck. It came by through a lot of hard work.
And finally, when you're coaching young goalkeepers, what techniques are important for them to learn? Is it what you said earlier about setting your feet and making sure your head's straight?
Yeah, there's a set position. You know, if you're in control, there's a set position that you need to get, you need to have to be able to save any shot or header. You know, so, you know, like people, you know, people do drills and they say, right, we're going to hit, you know, like six balls low on the ground. If you say that to the goalkeeper, he will naturally, he will start by going low in his knees. You know, but if you tell them that, if you don't tell them where they're going, where it's going to go, they need to be able to get to the low shot and the high shot from one position.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
You know, or even like, you know, to be able to spring, you know, to make a dive from that position, you know, because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, sometimes if the ball, if the striker's coming in, it's close to you, then there's every chance he's going to go low, so you can get a little bit lower. But there's a set position that you need to have and be able to make any save from it.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Adrian Clark joins me at the Chalkboard. And Clarkie, before we talk about a variety of Middlesbrough-related things, David Seaman, inducted into the National Football Museum's Hall of Fame, as we've just been hearing. What are your memories of the
goalkeeper? Well, first of all, a much-deserved place in that Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a legend. What a goalkeeper. My personal memories of him are how hard he was to beat in training, especially when we do shooting drills. His shots had to be absolutely perfect. They had to have the right power and be totally precise to nip inside the post. Otherwise, he just smothered pretty much every shot. Brilliant keeper. Did the business for such a long period of time in the first team here. Very, very consistent. And as a fella, he was very nice. He was really friendly. And what he used to do with me, I think we got on pretty well, but every time he used to walk past me in the corridor, he'd just give me a dig in the stomach and start chuckling to himself, in his big, deep laugh. And he gave me a few digs in the ribs, but they were always lighthearted.
All healed now?
Just about, yeah, but he's got big fists.
Well, from David Seaman and that very interesting and unique recollection onto Middlesbrough, who Arsenal play this coming weekend. Promoted team, obviously. Pretty solid effort so far, though.
Solid, but they haven't got a lot of points, have they? That's the issue for them, Middlesbrough. I think they would have expected to have done a bit better. Disappointing last time out, losing at home to Watford. I think that would have been a bit of a blow to them. You're right to call them solid, though. Karanka is a tactical manager. He likes to keep things tight. And I've looked at their away games, and they are better away from home. And in eight different halves of football so far this season on their travels, they've only conceded goals in three of those eight, which I think suggests that they are very solid. They're well organised. You know, in the majority of halves away from home, they can have a shutout. So Arsenal going to need to move them around.
So solidity is going to be a key. What do you think their tactical approach will be for an away game at Emirates Stadium?
What do you think? I think it's going to be pretty negative. Not completely, because
the 8-1-1 formation.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it would be that defensive, but they're not going to take a lot of risks. It's all about keeping their shape, I think, with Middlesbrough. They do have some quite good offensive players. They haven't hit top form. Stuani, I guess, would be the key man in terms of making things happen. Ramirez hasn't got going. Downing's hit and miss. A couple of others have been tried out. So I think their strength is in their shape. It'll be 4-2-1, which will be a 4-5-1 without the ball. And it will be down to Arsenal to open up gaps. They won't offer them up readily. I can predict that.
So a key battleground then, what would you pick out for this one?
Well, I pick out a key battleground in the midfield because you've got two really combative players and you've got Francis Coquelin, who's going to come back into the side, we expect, up against a guy called Martin de Roon, a Dutchman, who played in Italian football. He's strong. He's improving game on game and he is their Coquelin, if you know what I mean. If he has a good game, it will lay the platform for a decent counter-attacking performance for Middlesbrough. They'll stay solid and he'll help spring counters. If Coquelin has a good game and dominates the engine room with his drive and quick passing as well, I think Arsenal will sweep forward and hopefully play the majority of this match in Middlesbrough's half. If that happens and Arsenal play at a fast pace, they should be okay.
And that would then allow the likes of Cathal and one or two of the other players to really boss and have more space and time to do what they do
best. It's not the kind of game where we need two or three players in front of the back four, I would imagine. It'd be more of a 4-1, 4-1 from Arsenal's perspective, with Coquelin. Even though he's played a bit more advanced this season, but I'd imagine he would do the shielding job to some degree, laying the platform, as I said, for Cazorla, Ozil, all the other guys to do their magic. So yeah, I think he's got a role to play, even though Arsenal should be on the front foot.
And the age-old archetypal question to conclude in a sentence, Adrian Clark, how do you beat Middlesbrough?
You beat Middlesbrough by playing fast football. Play it slow, they will close up those gaps. Move the ball from side to side very quickly. Have midfield runners all at speed. And I think we can score goals, even though Middlesbrough are a good defensive outfit.
Well, Clarkey, thank you for your thoughts on that. And I can hear the faint ringing of a phone in the distance. I thought the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor, Liam Roberts, was off away on holiday this week, but he can't stop checking in on us. He can't leave us on our own. Liam, you're on the line.
And indeed, just like Clarkey, even when I'm not in the studio, I'm still working. So here I am, via the magic of the telephone.
Dedication, mate.
Love it, love it. So you're joining us, of course, for our latest prediction results and carrying on that this week.
Yeah, so results from last week, straight away, amazingly, Russell Hargreaves has got another one entirely correct. I don't believe it, but he's opened up a six-point gap on Adrian. He said that was it Theo Walcott would have the most shots in the game, and he had six.
Well, it's just all going wrong for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I had first pick. You even said you would have gone for Alexis. So this is just the rubber of the green is not going my way. It's all right.
So, yeah,
Clarkie,
you need to call something out of the bag this week because there's a gap opening up.
Yeah, I'm not happy. Go on then. What's the question?
Okay, so this week we're going to ask you the minute of the first goal in the game against Middlesbrough.
Okay, and who's first?
You.
And it's Russell this week.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's one of those where, you know, no, I'm not going to moan. I'm going to resist the temptation to moan. This is a fair game.
So, bitterness might start to be traded.
Yeah, I'm not going to be bitter.
It's an allegation otherwise, Adrian Clark. I am going to say minutes, would it be 21 to 30? Is that how we're doing it?
I think we'll go 0 to 10, 10 to 20, and then I'll even go by the second.
So okay, well, I'll say 20 to 30 then.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's a sensible call. It's probably the call I would have made myself, actually. I think it might take us a little while to break Middlesbrough down, so I'm gonna go for 50 to 60. How about that?
50 to 60. Okay, so that's locked in, and hopefully you, Adrian, you'll get the point in the bag because it's becoming a bit of a round at the moment.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
Liam, thank you for joining us. Go back and enjoy the rest of your day off and spend some time with your lovely wife. Clarkey, great work. And of course, more from Clarkey on the breakdown to look back at all of that action on Arsenal.com. Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Santi Cazorla, to David Seaman, to Kieran Lewis and to Adrian Clark for all of their contributions today. Don't forget you can subscribe on iTunes, clearly leaving us a 5-star review in the process, then you'll never miss another episode. You can also find us these days on Acast as well. We're back on Monday the 24th of October, and until then, it's bye for now, and come on you Gunners!
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.